actually talking about this. The one I'm looking at is going to be Test Redeem, which we started right at the end of the last class. And Test Redeem is under the VB.net group as opposed to under the current group. So we're going to start with Test Redeem. So to get to it, you go in under Arrays and then Test Redeem under VB.net. Okay, so VB.net, and then you're going to Arrays and Arrays Zipped, and it's under there. And the Word and HTML version are down below. So that's the ones I'm looking for. Okay. So there is Test Redeem. And again, this one was written in 10. It's compatible when I come up. It does the change to 12. Okay, this is the one that no user should really ever have to use because, it's a little complicated. So no user should ever have to use my program and figure out which buttons to hit with my 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 buttons. Okay. Oh, I also should mention, if you have been sending me stuff under Bristol CC, and you haven't been getting the stuff back, it's because Bristol CC didn't send it. I've got about 3,000 bounce backs. 300, not 3,000, thank you. About 300 bounce backs from BCC over break of stuff that was being sent to students at their Bristol CC address. So, if you haven't, I'm pretty much caught up. So if you haven't got something from me, feel free to let me know and I will look up and send you what I sent you. But I've got all of these that were bounced back. And I think I'm pretty well caught up. If I'm not, I will probably get caught up on anything that's missing tomorrow. So if you're missing something, send it to me. Otherwise, I guess I'm going to go back and try to figure out what it was I sent you, but the resend only says this wasn't delivered. It doesn't tell what wasn't delivered, unless it's in the subject line well. If it's in the subject line well, I can find it. But some people don't put very descriptive things in the subject line, and therefore, yeah. So anyway, they've now got it fixed, supposedly. And the stuff is going out. So anyway, okay, here is the program. Has everybody got that up? Okay. So, here is the code, and we will start it. Okay. So, start gather, and I did this last night to be sure I knew which button will be fixed, and we'll see if it actually works. Okay, so start gather is the first thing that you click. And that says enter the number of original entries. So I'm entering 5. So I'm going to have 5 original entries. Okay, so now it has put the cursor in amount. And I'm supposed to enter the information into amount. So I'm going to put in 10 and then hit gather amount. And then I've got 20. Whoops. See, I knew that. Then I have to hit clear. Then I can put in 20, gather amount, clear. Put in 30, gather amount, clear. Put in 40, gather amount, clear. Put in 50, gather amount, clear. And it stops now, and it at least I managed to blank out those buttons so you can't use them anymore. Okay, so they are not available anymore. So now I say continue, and it says, how many more do you want to enter? So I'm going to say I want to enter 3 more. Okay, so I hit continue. It says, how many more do you want to enter? I said 3 more. And now I am going to put in 60 and continue gather, clear. 70, continue gather, clear second. 80, continue gather, clear second. And I really should have had clear second go away, but I apparently forgot to do that. So now I have got 60, 70, and 80. And now I say show the contents of the array, and it goes all the way down to 80. Okay, so I go 10 through 80. So I'm showing the contents of the array. And it goes 10 through 80. Okay. Now, the way that I did that is with the redim. The redim allows you to redimension an array. And there are two ways of redimensioning. You can just say redim, which redimensions the array, but we'll start it over from new. Or you can say redim preserve, which means keep what you've already put in there and add to it. Okay, so you've got redim, which will redefine the array, including getting ready for new data. And then you've got redim preserve, which keeps the data. Okay, so down here at the bottom, where I said continue, okay, if you look under continue, I said work more equals how many more do you want to enter, and I took in that number and stored it in work more, okay. Then I said redim preserve, and I said the how many, okay, now how many I put in originally is 5, but that meant it went 0 to 4, so that's why I'm subtracting the 1. Okay, so I originally put in how many as 5. I put it as 5. I need to subtract 1 to get the 4 because it goes 0 to 4. Okay? And then I added in the work more. Work more, I put in 3. So I added in the 3, and I'm now up to 7 in the array. Okay? So I now have 7 in the array. So at that point, I said redim and preserve, meaning keep what I have in there. And then I said, okay, now that I've done that, I added the information. And I added in entries. And then I said true and true to the continue gather. The continue gather is where I actually add to the array. I just wrote the word entries at the top of the box, and then I enabled the buttons. And then when I clicked on continue gather, it took in what I wanted and put it into the array modified by count. Okay. Then it added 1 to count and kept going through that. Count, notice, was defined up here at the top. So I am keeping track of count. Okay, so one way to do this is to come down here, and when I do the count gather, before I do anything, put out the message box that shows me what count is when I hit this. Okay? So I'm going to start this again. I think I'm going to start it again. There we go. So I'm saying start gather, enter the number original, and I'm only going to put in 2 at this point. Actually, I think I'll put in 3. Okay, so I'm going to put in 3. So I'm putting in 10, gather the amount, clear. I think that was 11, right? All right, 11. 12, gather the amount, clear. 13, gather the amount, clear. Okay, so I've got those. Now I'm saying continue. How many more do you want? I'm going to put in 2 more. Okay, it says entries 5. Okay, so up here it said entries 3. Up there it says entries 5. We'll see where that comes from in a minute. So I'm going to put in 14 and click on continue gather. And it is showing me the count is 3. Okay, so count is 3. And I say, okay. I clear. I'm putting in 15. Continue gather. Count is now 4. And I'm saying, okay. And clear. And it's done, and I want to see the contents of the array, and it shows me the 5 things. But remember, these were 0, 1, 2. This was 3 and 4. And then this is 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay? So at the beginning, when I came here, it showed me a count of 3 because I had already put in 3 things, which was 0, 1, and 2. So what I'm doing here is this is what count is. Okay, so count is 0, 1, 2. Then it's 3, 4. And count was defined up at the top, which means that it didn't get changed. It was defined globally, which meant it is available to all subroutines. So I could keep a running count. I didn't have to reset count. Okay. Does that make sense? So in the continue gather, I simply added to the array, and then I changed count by adding 1 to count. Okay. So I put it into the array. If you look here at continue gather, okay, I put it into the array, and then I said, okay, message box was 3, so I said put it into the 3rd slot of the array, because I didn't change count between then and then. So put it into the 3rd slot in the array, or actually the 4th slot, but the one that is 0, 1, 2, 3. Okay? The 4th slot, but it's 0, 1, 2, and then it starts 3. So I'm putting it into the one where count is modified by 3, and then I'm taking it from the array and putting it in the list box. And then I'm adding 1 to count for 4. So that I'm ready for the next one. Okay. Keeping track of the 4th one as an index of 3, you know, can drive you crazy. But it's the way the world works. Okay, so up at the top, my index went 0, 1, 2, count being my index. The next one I said add 2 more, so count went 3, 4. And then when I have the bottom where I print them all out, that show contents of array. And so when I go to that bottom one, okay, when I go to the bottom one to show the contents, I say, okay, dim I. I decided not to use count. I said dim I is an integer. And I said, for I equals starting at 0 and going to the length of the array minus 1.
Could you have gone to count at that point?
Yes. Yes. Providing the count was at the max when I got there. But I think that I didn't change count, but it would have to have been at its... Well, I added one to it. Getting ready for the next round, so I might have to subtract one from count. That's an interesting question. And the best way to find out what count is to put a message box and ask me to show what count is. So start gather, I'm going to say 2, because I'm getting sick of this. 11, 12, continue, 2 more, 13, 14, 14. Showing me count at 4. So that means it's already added 1. So if I wanted to use count in there, I'd have to have count minus 1. Okay. But it's nice that they provide you with this accumulated array of dot length, that I can figure out the length of the array, because once you've started... Lots of times people will give the user the option to add something, and they'll redim the array as the user's adding something. And so it will keep going up by 1. Well, you're not going to be able to keep track of where it's gone, so length is a good thing to have there. Okay. Although the index is certainly, you can keep track of it by the index, but it's a little more tricky, especially if it's multiple places. So, that will show you that. Now, up at the top, I used just plain redim. So, when I defined the array, I didn't set up any numbers. But when I came down here, I set up the size of the array by saying, okay, I've got an array, redimension it as a cube array, look how many, minus 1. Okay, so if I said I wanted to put in 5 things, it then redimensioned it as 4. Okay, and that redimension is not a preserve, so it just redimensioned it. It set up the empty slots. So redim redefines the array, and redim preserve redefines it again. The data that's in it. Much more interesting than Visual Basic, whatever you're doing.
Rock, paper, scissors.
It was clear that it wasn't Visual Basic. You got to learn to keep the smile under control. Okay, questions?
Why do you actually keep count for this? Do you need it?
I need it to put it in the slot in the array.
Okay.
And I can't remember whether I'm controlling a loop based on count. No, I think I'm mainly using it for the slot in the array. But I need it to keep track of which slot in the array to put it in. And lots of times I need it to keep track of how many times I'm going to do a loop.
Okay. So you... do the dim array first, but you don't know how long it's going to be.
Right.
So you have empty parentheses and no spaces there.
Right.
And then you have to redim it in order to stick anything in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the way that they provide for you to make the number in there. And so I'm asking the person how many things they plan to enter, and I'm going to control it by how many they say. Okay, when I get down to continue gather, I've got when I clear, actually the control is done in the clear. And in the clear, when I clear it, I said if count is still less than the length, I do it one way, else I disable the buttons.
If you didn't want to have to depend on the... Well, if you didn't want them to have to say how many they were going to enter and they just were going to enter them, would you redim it like each time they...
No, I did put it right at the top. If I knew they were going to enter 10 things, I'd just define it right at the top.
Like if somebody's just using it and they're just going to enter however many...
Yes, I can redim, but I'd want to use preserve there.
Okay.
I can redim every time. In fact, I think there's an example of that. One of the ones from the more recent version. I think I do that. But yeah, if they're just going to enter it in, and every time you just redim it up one,
yeah.
And so the array keeps growing.
When you did the Yakum array up there, can you put parentheses? Is that so you can put count inside of it?
That's to tell it that it is an array, basically, and that it's going to have a number.
Okay.
Okay, I'm trying to think. Look through this and see if there's anything else you see that's a problem. But I think that pretty much covers what's going on here. And there was one place where I didn't disable. I should have had an enable. When I was all done, I left the... It's one of the boxes left open. But I tried to, on most of them, I disabled the boxes, so I mean buttons, so that the user can't click on a button that is out of gear. That is out of commission. So once I finish up here, I think this is the one I didn't clear. Okay, and I don't think that is causing a big problem.
Yeah, because it ends in true.
Okay. So that one should be false. But when I'm done with it, it should be false. Alrighty, there are others, so I'm going to close this solution, and now I'm going to go to the ones that are listed under Chapter 8. Okay, if you go back to here, and my examples, and Chapter 8 is arrays, so I'm going to go back to the ones that are under Chapter 8. And actually, I'm going to look at the more one first, because if I remember correctly, that's the one that's got the dim and the redim in it. And since we've just been talking about that, that's the one I'm going to look at first. So it's the more calc, or more array, rather. One that has the redim in it. Actually, I don't see it. Well, we'll do this one anyway since this is where we are, but I don't actually see it. Oh, yes, there it is. Down in the last routine, I've got redim preserve. Okay, so if I start this, I have got three arrays here. The first two are parallel, basically. 120 is programming logic, 121 is operating systems. So those are basically parallel arrays that I'm going to use together. The third one is just an array that I'm going to sort, and so I just put something in there because I'm going to sort it. It doesn't have a lot to do with much of anything. Okay. Now, notice up at the top, I dimmed course count as 4, and then I said dim number of array as course count. So that is another way I could have done that, is if I had a routine where I took in course count, and then I can actually set it in there. Okay, but I need to do that before, so it would have to be in load or something, because it has to be before the array is established. Okay? So if I wanted to, I could have done that right in load. Okay, and then I loaded the arrays. And that is almost always done in load. Because basically what you're doing is you're setting up the array to be used throughout the program. Okay. So now I came down and I've got the first button that says show array. And so it goes through. And because they're parallel arrays, I said, show me number of array modified by number array modified by count, and word array modified by count. So when count is 0, I'm seeing 120 programming logic. When it's 1, I'm seeing 121 operating systems. So it's keeping them together. Now, my personal preference on a parallel array is to include them all in one array, the way I think I had showed you the last time. But instead of having them separate, I would prefer to write the 120 right in there and the 120 right in there, and either use substring or split or something to get them separated. Just because too often I've seen people make mistakes when they go to add a course in there and they don't put them both at the fourth slot when they wanted to add something, or both at the third slot. In other words, they add a number here and they add the name down there or something like that, so they're not matching. And I've seen them do that too often. So what I prefer is to write it out as array 120 programming logic and put it all in one quotes and then pull them apart using substring. So with substring, I can say, take the first three characters, that's the number, take from character 4 on, that's the name. And I like that way of doing it better. I don't see that a lot being done, so clearly I'm in a minority on that particular thing, but I think it's a lot easier, huh?
Substring is really annoying. Especially when you have the assignment, you had to find the slash. That was the worst thing I ever did.
That actually was left over from a real example that I had to do, and you're right. I remember at the time when I had to do it, cursing it. But, you know, it teaches you manipulation, and there really are times that you have to know manipulation. Another way to do that is there is a split verb in Visual Basic that splits things up. And you can say split it up based on a space, an embedded space, or based on a slash. But that doesn't work all the time because you don't always, let's say you have an ID number and you want to split it up, and there's certain rules you want to follow, and they all are different. Split, you have to be able to more tell it the rules. So that's why I get you to do that horrendous one where you... Is it working now?
Yeah. It took 4 hours.
Is that all?
Well, it helped me. Like, and it took 4 hours. It was like, wow.
But now you'll always be able to do it.
I don't know.
If that takes that long.
It's firmly embedded now, hopefully.
You don't even know it's there.
Yeah, that must have taken enough time to get into long-term memory, mm-hmm. as opposed to hanging around in temp memory.
It did in 150. I don't think I could ever forget that.
Yeah, I know. If you ever take, you haven't taken Oracle yet, right?
No.
And you will be taking it, and I will give you the same exact problem. So remember it. And if you take PHP, I'll give you the same problem. I essentially give it in every language I teach, so the first time, it's hard. But after that, as long as you keep the code, it's a lot easier when you hit the second and third languages. So you have an advantage over people that have not taken Visual Basic. Okay, so now I have the show array, okay, which, as I said, went through from count 0 to 4. And there are 5 things, so it went through count 0 to 4 and just wrote the things down there. Okay, then the next thing I had was a search. And on this one, I said search, and I said enter the course number. So 156, and it comes up with Visual Basic. And this is a search like we looked at before, where we're writing our own search and saying we want to do this while work sub is less than 5 and match indicator equals no. Okay, so we know that there are only 4 things. So we want to do it as long as the subscript would get something valid. When the subscript hits a 5, it won't get anything valid, so I want to get out. And I said, and I also want to do it while match indicator equals no, which means that if I find a match, okay, then I want to get out. So there's 2 reasons I want to stop this loop. One is that I checked everything, and one is that I found the match. If I found the match, why do I want to continue going? So I want to get out either because I've checked everything or I've found a match. Okay, so I say do while the subscript is telling me I haven't checked everything and match indicator is telling me I have not found a match. Does that make sense? We've looked at this before, but I'm not sure all of you were here. So if you weren't here and you looked at this before, ask questions.
So if you do it as string and put no, and then down there if you did match indicator equals wet, yes, he knows that it's not what you put in at first, and then jumps out.
Well, that's actually where, yes. Which one are you looking at? I think that's a yes.
The match indicator.
The if one? Okay.
The search.
All right, in the middle of the search, I'm setting it to yes when I find it.
Okay.
So if work num in is equal to the thing in the array that work sub is pointing to, work num in is the number I typed in. I typed in 156. So if 156 is equal to the thing in the array that it's pointing to, and the thing in the array it's pointing to would be at 3. Okay? So if it is equal to that, then I am setting the match indicator equal to yes to tell me I found it. So the first time that works up is a 0, the next time is a 1, the next time is a 2, when it's finally a 3, then I say, okay, I found it, and I set the match indicator to yes. And I add 1 to works up if it's not. If it's not, I add 1 to work sub. So that's in the else, meaning if it's not a match, I want to go back and check the next thing. If it is a match, I don't want to add to work sub because I want to keep the position where the match was found down here so I can move out the name. Okay, work sub, at this point, work sub contains the position where I found the match. if I added one to work sub, then it no longer contains the position where I found the match. So that's why the add one to work sub is done in the else. And then I, after the loop is over, I go down and I say, okay, is work match indicator equal to yes? And if it is, then that means I found the match and go and get it from the word array using that three. Else, put out did not find match, because else we left it because work sub was no longer less than five. So because I had two ways of getting out, I had two ways out, I need to check which way down here. And since there's only two, I can ask one question. And if it's that is true, then I know it's that reason I got out. Else, I know it's the other reason I got out. So I could have said in here, if work indicator is five, okay, because I would have then gotten out. But it seemed more clear to test, is the match indicator yes? So I did that. Okay. Okay. The next routine appears to be the sort. So I'm going to just look at that, and then we'll look at the add course one. Okay, the sort uses the sort verb, which we discussed, and it just does the sort. Isn't that lovely? Okay, so I tell it, do the sort, array.sort, and the sort, the thing I want to sort is the two sort array, which is up there. So I want to do an array sort using the two sort array. And so it does a sort. And you can see that the E word comes out first and the T word comes out last, so indeed it's sorted alphabetically. Yeah. It doesn't know that eighth means eight. Okay, it sorts alphabetically. And we looked last time, and I can't even remember. There was a way to tell it to make it descending. He came up with, actually, no, there wasn't a way. You had to do a reverse.
Yeah.
Once you had done it, you had to use a reverse to make
you
it flip.
You sorted, and then you reversed it.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Which most languages have a word like DESC you can put in to say it's descending, or they even have... What language? PHP, I think I was looking at, has a letter in front of it, so a D sort would mean a descending sort, and a, you know, A sort would mean an ascending sort, and all of those. I think that's kind of convoluted to say I've got to sort it first and then do a reverse. But I actually looked at it a little bit that week after we found that out, and I couldn't find anything that was a better solution. But as I have mentioned before, the Microsoft site is not necessarily the easiest thing to find stuff in. Okay, so now we're looking at the redim one. Okay, so I want to add a course here. Okay. So I'm adding a course, and the first thing I do is ask for the course number. So I'm going to add, no, it's just a number in this one, right? 155, and C++, okay, and it's now added the course in. So I've just added C++ to the course list. Now, what I did in order to do that is I said course count equals course count plus one. Okay? And remember, up at the very top, I define course count. And so now I'm saying course count equals course count plus one. And I'm saying, okay, so now go in and change that array. So redim and preserve it to course count. Course count, what was used to be there, I'm adding one to it. So that is allowing me to add a course. Okay, only one. If I want to add another course, I click on add course. And I've got, it's just numbers. 256, advanced VB. And there's 256 on there. So I can keep adding them, and that's what you were asking about, the adding one thing at a time. So every time I click on that, I can add a new course. Okay? And if I get, okay, if I do one more, and so we'll make it 255, and that's advanced C++. And notice I now bought myself a scroll bar, and we'll add 150, Oracle. Okay. So I've now got myself the scroll bar that is allowing me to scroll down because I put too many things in there for it to be itself, which is a really nice feature that when I have the list box, when I overreach, it adds the scroll bar. Okay. So I said input box, enter the course number. And I took the input number they put in and put it into the number of array modified by course count because I want to put it in the last one. Okay, what would I do if I wanted to keep these in order? Okay. I want to have these come out in order in the array. So I want to insert it in the array such that it would come out in order. Okay?
Numerical order?
Yes, numerical order. So if I want to do that, I've got to go through actually quite a lot of painful procedures and come up with a way of getting those in sequential order. Okay? Because the 155, actually, I think I have a program that does that at home. So I will bring that in next time. If I remember, I will try very hard to remember. But what I have to do is I have to insert the 155, which is the thing I added first, in there, which should make that num array 3. And then this would be 4 and this would be 5 because I've now inserted it, so it's now the third thing. Okay? The other way I could get around it is to then sort the number of array, but then I have the problem of, and this is why I prefer having them together. Because if I put the 155 at the bottom and I sort these in sequential order, how do I get these in order? Because they're not in order. The same way, a sort on them is not going to give me the same result. Which is why, as I said, I like the idea of putting number name, because then it keeps them together. And if I sort them, they stay together. So if I have written this as number name, when I sort based on the first three characters, which is sort based on the substring, then they keep in order. Actually, those are two good things to look at on Thursday. And I know I've got to remember to go look them up because I think I have programs that do that. If not, I can modify these. I'll tell you what. Anybody that makes either of those two things happen by Thursday, I'll give you extra credit. Okay? So do either of those two that we just talked about, inserting them in or changing it so the array is all one thing and doing a sort on that. Obviously, that's the easier version, so you get less extra credit on that than you get on the other one. But try giving those a try if you want some extra credit, and I will give you extra credit for that. And I will remember to put it out on the website, right? Right. Okay. If not, people better listen to the tape. Okay, questions? I mean, there's a lot of just plain interesting things when you start to set up how to go about setting it up. You know, if you suddenly say, but wait a minute, I want to insert something in water, you stop and think about how to do it. And as I said, as far as I'm concerned, the easiest way to do it is to make it number name. And then I can do a very easy sort when I want to display it and then display it. You know, just like the sort that I did here, in that I can sort, only I'm going to have to give it the fields that I want to sort on, and then it, I can display everything in the list in order. Okay.
We haven't talked about them yet, but does like a two-dimensional array solve that problem?
No, a two-dimensional array, didn't we talk about two-dimensional arrays? I think we looked at two-dimensional arrays. Did we look at two-dimensional arrays? If nobody remembers, then clearly we should go and look at them. Because I forgot.
I don't remember looking at it.
Okay. Is anybody going to be bored out of their minds if I go and look at two-dimensional arrays? Okay. So I wanted to take a picture of this. And then I'm going to go and say File, Close Solution, File, Open Project. Yeah, I'm sure we looked at it. But it's back over under vb.net, S15, Arrays, and Airfare.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm? We looked at different versions of it, but if nobody remembers it, clearly it's worth revisiting. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Now I remember this.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Said your daughter went to...
Baku, that's right.
I was here for that. Yeah.
Yes. What is the capital, what is country is Baku the capital of? Azerbaijan. Did you even know Azerbaijan existed before I said it?
No.
I didn't either. You go to where? Have a nice time, dear. Anyway, okay, so you do remember how the array sets up. A two-dimensional array is more when you have two variables, and the from of a place to a place is the perfect example. Because from Boston to Istanbul is that. There's two things you have to know. I have to know where I'm leaving from and where I'm leaving to. And that just lends itself to having a two-dimensional table where I can put the from, yeah, the from up there, and I can put the to down there, or vice versa, it doesn't matter. But the intersection of the from and the to gives me the price. So this is the intersection of 0, 0, and that price is right there. So the intersection is the 0, 0, and then 0, 1, 0, 2, and so forth. Okay, that was a quick little side trip, since everybody remembers. Do you have any questions about it or remembering? Yeah, Carol.
I was just wondering if if anybody's still getting kicked
out. Oh, yeah. I'm here.
Still getting kicked out of an SCP.
You were earlier.
Okay. Anybody? And we're on the tape, so if anybody at home is having that problem, you can contact Carol.
Yeah, there you go. I'm trying to figure out why. Might be the server or the network itself, but when she told me about it this morning, I just want to... So you guys are not having a problem right now. You're in WinSCP and you're not getting kicked out.
They're not in...
They're not in WinSCP. But you're on your laptop. She wasn't having a problem on her laptop, but on the PCs in the room, they were having a problem. Okay. Let me know.
Alrighty.
I get it. So, in a two-dimensional array, all of the array elements are the same type of thing.
Yes. Okay. Although, there is another kind of an array called an associative array that we didn't get into that does let you have different types. And I'm trying to remember whether that works in VB or not. I honestly have to look before I check. PHP it does work in, and I've been playing with it in PHP recently. And you have associative arrays there. I'm going to have to try to remember whether VB has them or not. I'll go look. That's the third thing to look for. Let's see if I can remember all of these when I get home. Because... I mean, an associative array is very much the way I told you, where you can actually have the two things going across. And it's not two-dimensional, it's the two things going across. So if I have CIS 120 and then the name, those are kind of like that. I will go and look. Okay, so I'm going to do a file close solution. File open project, and we are going to go back and look at we're running out of time, so I think I'm going to look at the middle one because the first one is kind of the easiest. So I'm going to look at calc. And this actually is fairly straightforward. And I just clicked on a place. Do this. When you click on a place and you bring up a empty spot, clean it out, make it go away so somebody doesn't wonder why it's there and if it's supposed to have code in it and all that good stuff. So it's just a good way of making it go away. I think the only thing that I was doing in here is showing the for each, which they illustrate in the book. The ones that where I say chapter 8 are usually that I went back and picked what I considered the high points in the chapter. So show array is doing a for each, okay? And for each basically means that it will go through the array and do it for each element in the array. Okay? So you write it as for each and you pick a name there. And then you say, and you just make up a name for each, whatever I want to call it. The current thing will be an add num. Okay? So I'm saying for each, and I called it show num. And on the next one down, I called it add num. And as I said, you can change that and make it whatever you want to call it. What it basically is saying is for each row in the array. So the for each will go through every row in the array. And one of the nice things about the for each is you don't have to know how big the array is. Okay? Because it will do it for each one in the array. So I said, for each show num in the number array. And I define show num here as a single, okay, because I have the decimal numbers that I'm putting in. So the array has on it, in load, I put in 5 or 6 fields. And then I said, okay, now show me those. So I said, for each, and then I said, okay, I'm going to call each one show num. And so I'm saying for each thing in the number array is basically what it's doing. And then I'm saying and show num. Well, the first time through, show num is 1234, and that's what I add. The next time through, show num is 2345. So show num is always showing the current one. Show num shows the current one in the array.
Okay. Let's see if it will let me actually write that. Yes. Current in array. Okay, so it's the current thing in the array.
So it's the one that's currently on, and the for each just zooms through and shows each one. Then the next one is, I said, okay, now show the total. So it does exactly the same thing, except that it adds it up. And I formatted it as a number with 2 decimal places. Then into, go look it up if you want to, but into is, I think, a normal number with 2 decimal places. There's a whole series of these numbers that when you format, you can say format like this. I want it to be this particular format, so I want work total to be N2 format. And my memory is that N2 is a 2-digit decimal number. But you can go and look that up. Okay. I'm sure your book must have a chart of them. And then I said, okay, now do the average. And so it went through and did the totaling. And then I said, take the total and divide by the number of array dot length. And I formatted that whole thing as an N2 also. So I've got format. And then I said, okay, format needs to know the thing I want to format. There it is up in the comma. And then as an N2. So up to the comma is the thing I want to format. Well, it happens to be a calculation. That's not a problem. It just knows that it wants to format the answer that comes out of that. And then take that answer after it's been formatted and put it in textAverage.txt. And then the next one says find the highest. Okay, and we've looked at this kind of thing before in some of my examples. But what I'm doing there, and this time I decided to not use a for each, I used a for. Okay, just to show the difference. When I use a for, I have to worry about the number of array length. So I have the number of array length -1. Okay? So it figures out the length, but it does that in real numbers as opposed to starting with 0, so I have to subtract 1. Okay? So I'm saying start at 0 and go to the length -1. And then I said basically, as we're going through this, if the number array that 4 count is pointing to is greater than work high, put it into work high. And so as we're going through, and unfortunately, I should have made these numbers all different orders so I'd find the highest, because obviously the highest is the bottom one, but it honestly would work if it wasn't the bottom one. And the reverse does low. So if I come in here, and let's change this and make that 134 and make that 123, okay? Make that 200. Okay. So there they are. There's the total, there's the average, and the highest, it did find the highest. and the lowest, and still found the lowest.
Okay.
So what I'm doing is I'm checking, and right at the beginning, when I do this highest thing, right at the beginning I said dim work high is zero. So I started out at zero. Then I look at the first one and I say, okay, if the number in the array that 4 count is pointing to, which is at this point 12.34, is greater than work high. Well, it clearly is. So it puts that number into work high. So work high is now 12.34. Then it goes back and does the next one, and it just is going to be looking at 123.5. So it's asking, is 123.5 greater than work high? And yes, it is, so it puts it in. And then it goes, and it keeps going. When it gets down to 45.67, it's not higher, and so it doesn't change it. So anytime this is higher than what's already in work high, it takes and puts it into work high. If it's not higher, it does nothing. It doesn't want to change work high in that case, so it does nothing. If that's clear, that's fine. If not, ask. And with the work low one, I simply did the same thing, except I compared to less than work low. And so I never got a yes to less than work low, because the first thing was my low thing. If I change this to a 7, just a 7, and I do that, and I want to show it so you can see them, and say lowest, it comes out at 789.
Why does your count start at 0 and then at 1? It starts at 0 for the high and it starts at 1 for the low?
Because I made a mistake.
But it worked.
Let me see. Work low, number array. Oh, because I set it to, I said, take the zeroth element and make that work low. So I've already looked at the work low. I didn't see it.
Oh, I see it. Yeah.
So I said, to start out with, instead of up here, I set the high to zero. Here I said, take the first thing and make that work low, because obviously the first thing is going to be work low. When I've only looked at one thing. And then I said, okay, so now that I've taken care of that, I can start at 1.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good. I didn't make a stupid mistake. Okay. Questions? Yeah, no, I mean, I think the best way to learn this stuff is to look at examples, but that's the way I learn, so good luck to you if that's not the way you learn. you know, I learn best with examples. Okay, I don't think we're going to have really the whole amount of time to do this one, and we can finish it off on Thursday. But I put in a module here, so I defined my arrays in a module, okay? And again, putting it in a module is no different than putting it into the program. It just is sometimes if you have certain things that you want to kind of group together and stand out, you can put them in here. So I said, okay, I'm going to establish a integer called upper sub. I'm going to establish an array of languages, and it's going to be integer. Upper sub is telling me how many. And then I'm going to establish another array of languages taught at BCC, and that's going to have all of those in it. So this is an alternate way. Up until now, we've been looking at kind of listing each one with a 0, 1, 2, 3. This is an alternate way of doing it, and I did show you this as an example on one of them, where I'm saying just set it up as a string, and by definition, PHP would be the 0th one, VB would be 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th. So it's just an alternate way of writing it. And by putting it in a module, and remember with that we do project add module. And if you do project add module, it comes up, and this is what it shows you. And you can then give it a name down at the bottom and add it to your program. So you just do project add module, it comes up with module already highlighted. Gives you a default name if you want to use it. And if you click add, it will add it like I just did. So now I've added module 1. Don't have anything in it, but I've added it. And if I look at it, that's what it looks like. Just module and module. Now, usually you put things in the module public because you want it available, and that's what I did here, public, because I want it available to everything back on my form. And Thursday we're going to start looking at multiple forms, hopefully, and so then you want it available to everything on all of the forms. And that's when module really starts to be a nice thing to have, because if you have multiple forms and you make this public, all of the forms can see it.
Kind of like header files and stuff in C++.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. I think so. That's what it seems. We use this later. All the other forms can use it.
That's right.
How C++ is a header file. It's just the name of the mod. Like in this case, it would be like the name of all the modules. And then,
yeah. Right. Okay. And there we've got all of our modules will be listed right here. And they're all available to all the forms, because if you don't do it that way, then when you move from form to form, you got to pass stuff.
Yeah.
And so this is just an easy way of working with forms such that you don't have to do a lot of passing. Okay. So that's that. And then if you go in and look at the form on this, okay, I've got a bunch of different things, and it's all just manipulating arrays again. I've got the 4 statement in there, and I'm just going through, and I've got 4 each down below. So I just went through and manipulated the stuff. Okay? And we will try to take a look at it, but I didn't think there was anything else in there that was particularly new. Everything else is really kind of following along on what we've already done.